Research is my own brand of caution, so I could talk to anybody that challenged me with as much knowledge as an employee. So, where to start? First, I looked up on the internet to see where the company had offices and saw the corporate headquarters was in Phoenix. Perfect. I called and asked for marketing. Every company has a marketing department. A lady answered, and I said I was with Blue Pencil Graphics, and we wanted to see if we could interest them in using our services, and who would I talk to? She said that would be Tom Stilton. I asked for his phone number, and she said they didn't give out that information, but she could put me through. The call rang into voicemail, and his message said, "This is Tom Stilton in Graphics, extension 3147. Please leave a message." Sure, they don't give out extensions, but this guy leaves his right on his voicemail, so that was cool. Now I had a name and extension. Another call, back to the same office. "Hi, I was looking for Tom Stilton. He's not in. I'd like to ask his boss a quick question." The boss was out, too. But by the time I was finished, I knew the boss's name. And she had nicely left her extension number on her voicemail, too. I could probably get us past the lobby guard with no sweat, but I've driven by that plant, and I thought I remembered a fence around the parking lot. A fence means a guard who checks you when you try to drive in. And at night, they might be writing down license numbers, too, so I'd have to buy an old license plate at a flea market. But first, I'd have to get the phone number in the guard shack. I waited a little, so if I got the same operator when I dialed back in, she wouldn't recognize my voice. After a bit, I called and said, "We've got a complaint that the phone at the Ridge Road guard shack has reported intermittent problems. Are they still having trouble?" She said she didn't know, but would connect me. The guy answered, "Ridge Road Gate, this is Ryan." I said, "Hi, Ryan, this is Ben. Were you having problems with your phones there?" He's just a low-paid security guard, but I guess he had some training, because he said right away, "Ben who? What's your last name?" I just kept right on as if I hadn't even heard him. "Somebody reported a problem earlier." I could hear him holding the phone away and calling out, "Hey, Bruce, Roger, was there a problem with this phone?" He came back on and said, "No, no problems we know about." "How many phone lines do you have there?" He had forgotten about my name. "Two," he said. "Which one are you on now?" 3140. "Gotcha. And they're both working okay?" "Seems like." "Okay," I said. "Listen, Tom, if you have any phone problems, just call us in telecom anytime. We're here to help." My buddy and I decided to visit the plant the very next night. Late that afternoon, I called the guard booth, using the name of the marketing guy. I said, "Hi, this is Tom Stilton in Graphics. We're on a crash deadline, and I have a couple of guys driving into town to help out. Probably won't be here till 1 or 2 in the morning. Will you still be on then?" He was happy to say that no, he got off at midnight. I said, "Well, just leave a note for the next guy, okay? When 2 guys show up and say they've come to see Tom Stilton, just wave him on in, okay?" "Yes," he said, "that was fine." He took down my name, department, and extension number, and said he'd take care of it. We drove up to the gate a little after 2. I gave Tom Stilton's name, and a sleepy guard just pointed to the door we should go in and where I should park. When we walked into the building, there was another guard station in the lobby with the usual book for after-hours sign-ins. I told the guard I had a report that needed to be ready in the morning, and this friend of mine wanted to see the plant. "He's crazy about helicopters," I said. "Thinks he wants to learn to pilot one." He asked me for my badge. I reached into a pocket, then patted around, and said I must have left it in car. I'll go get it. I said, "It'll take about 10 minutes. He said, "Never mind, it's okay, just sign in." Walking down that production line, what a gas, until that tree trunk of a Leroy stopped us. In the security office, I figured somebody who didn't really belong would look nervous and frightened. When things get tight, I just start sounding like I'm really steamed, like I'm really who I claim to be, and it's annoying that they don't believe me. When they started talking about maybe they should call the lady I said was my boss and went to get her home phone number from the computer, I stood there thinking, good time to just make a break for it. But there was that parking lot gate. Even if we got out of the building, they'd close the gate, and we'd never make it out. When Leroy called the lady who was Stilton's boss and then gave me the phone, the lady started shouting at me, "Who is this? Who are you?" And I just kept on talking like we were having a nice conversation and then hung up. How long does it take to find somebody who can give you a company phone number in the middle of the night? I figured we had less than 15 minutes to get out of there before that lady was ringing the security office and putting a bug in their ears. We got out of there as fast as we could without looking like we were in a hurry. Sure was glad when the guy at the gate just waved us through. Analyzing the con. It's worth noting that in the real incident this story is based on, the intruders actually were teenagers. The intrusion was a lark, just to see if they could get away with it. But if it was so easy for a pair of teenagers, it would have been even easier for adult thieves, industrial spies, or terrorists. How did three experienced security officers allow a pair of intruders to just walk away? And not just any intruders, but a pair so young that any reasonable person should have been very suspicious. Leroy was appropriately suspicious at first. He was correct in taking them to the security office and in questioning the guy who called himself Tom Stilton and checking the names and phone numbers he gave. He was certainly correct in making the phone call to the supervisor. But in the end, he was taken in by the young man's air of confidence and indignation. It wasn't the behavior he would expect from a thief or intruder. Only a real employee would have acted that way. Or so he assumed. Leroy should have been trained to count on solid identification, not perceptions. Why wasn't he more suspicious when the young man hung up the phone without handing it back so Leroy could hear the confirmation directly from Judy Underwood and receive her assurance that the kid had a reason for being in the plant so late at night? Leroy was taken in by a ruse so bold that it should have been obvious. But consider the moment from his perspective. A high school graduate concerned for his job, uncertain whether he might get in trouble for bothering a company